Boy, it got quiet in here. Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church on this Sunday morning, where we get to celebrate together. We get to celebrate the work of God in the lives of 13 of His children, and we get to be refreshed in the truths that they are going to confess in front of you in a little bit. We're also today going to be celebrating their first communion along with them. It's going to be great. We're all going to do it as one big family. So if you are a member of St. Mark's or of a church within our fellowship, we ask you to prepare your mind and your heart to receive the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus. If you are not a member of St. Mark's or of a church within our fellowship, we ask that you refrain from partaking of the Lord's Supper. There's a paragraph in the inside part of the bulletin explaining that, but if you have any questions, we would love to explain it to you and how you can commune with us in the future. So today we're going to open with hymn number 490. Please note the beautiful theme of that hymn, Love in Christ is Strong and Living. That's our theme for today. God bless your worship and God bless the confirmants. All right, in a couple of minutes, these confirmands are going to get to confess their Christian faith in front of all of you via a series of questions. But before we get to that, I'd like to invite a member to come forward, come up to grab the microphone. This is John Lervold. John Lervold this year is celebrating his 50th anniversary of being confirmed here at St. Mark's, so we praise God for that, and we ask John to share a word of encouragement here to the confirmands for 2018.
Good morning, and welcome to your confirmation at St. Mark's. 50 years ago, Bob Griegas and I were the first 8th grade confirmation class here at St. Mark's. It was up in the old church. We sat in the front pew on the left side, where it's probably just about 8 feet from where Mrs. Webb sits as a church secretary today. What is the importance of your confirmation and my confirmation and all of those who have been confirmed? It's a strong, biblically based, Christ-centered foundation for your lives. You will find as you grow up and get out in the world, they will misquote the Bible, they will take passages out of context, and they will mock some of its teachings or many of its teachings. They will mock you if you believe that God created the earth in 6 days. They will mock you if you believe in Noah's flood, and they will make fun of you if you believe that Christ rose from the dead. That is why you need this strong foundation. But what needs to be done with this foundation? A foundation is to be built upon. For those of you remembering the housing bubble of 2006 that lasted through 2012, you'll know that out in Rockland and Natomas and certain areas, there were many beautiful foundations that were bare and had to be fenced off, and then weeds grow up around them. So a foundation must be built on. Somehow it's sometimes unfortunate, I think, that it's near your eighth grade graduation, because a lot of confirmands get a mindset that, hey, I graduated from eighth grade confirmation, I've graduated from religion studies, right? Well, I'll ask you this question. Do you no longer have to study math, English, social studies, science, or the arts once you are graduated from the eighth grade? If you don't think so, you'll be in shock when you go to high school and then on to college. How are we built up? We are built up by confessing our sins, or by repenting of our sins, confessing them, by studying God's word, by worshiping with our fellow believers, and by attending our Bible classes. You'll have the teen classes and then eventually the adult classes. Okay, I'm getting the timeouts. The one thing I want you to think about is the 50 years of listening to the confirmands. I remember about the phrase, the great cloud of witnesses. And so at this point, what I'd like to do is ask that those who have been confirmands here at St. Mark's, whether eighth grade or adult, please stand up. Those of you who are parents and grandparents of confirmands, either today or in the past, please stand up. And those of you who are here to support and encourage our confirmands, please stand up. This is the support that you have from your fellow Christians as you struggle with the challenges of your life. Thank you. You may sit down. The one encouragement I want to give you, I know I'm running over time, but I will say that in all my 50 years of watching confirmands answer questions, if you get it wrong, the pastor will not ask you to leave and they won't take away your boutonniere and your robe. So here's my parting words. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And you will already be fulfilling or following this passage when you answer your questions today, when you sing and worship with us today. Congratulations.
All right, before we begin the examination, a few points about the examination itself. It is not an exhaustive list of everything that they have learned. It's simply an overview, so keep that in mind. Also, this is their opportunity to confess their faith and everything that they've learned about God from their parents, their pastors, and teachers. But it's also an opportunity for us to be refreshed in these basic biblical truths as we, too, look toward who our God is and what he's done for us. So, here we go. We'll start. Deep breath. First thing we're going to cover is a good place to start as we consider God's grace for us. We're going to start at what we know and who we are by nature. OJ, how should it be clear to everyone that there is a God?
Creation and conscience.
Good. Nicole, so then if we know that there is a God by nature, creation and conscience, why do we still need the Bible? What does the Bible reveal to us?
It reveals...
Who is the Bible all about?
God.
What's that?
God.
God, right. And what did he do for us?
He sent Jesus to die on the cross.
Absolutely. The whole Bible's all about that, and we wouldn't know that by nature. Thank you, Nicole. Kylie, what does the Bible reveal that sin does between us and God?
It separates us from God.
Jason, what good news does the Bible reveal to us?
It reveals the gospel, and the gospel shows what God has done for us.
Good, and what through Jesus. And Adam, how can the words of the Bible be God's word, then, if human writers wrote them?
Divine inspiration.
Yeah, they're verbally inspired. Well done. Andrew, because the Bible is God's word, what three things does he forbid anyone to do with the Bible?
Add, subtract, or change the meaning.
Now, part of what God gives us in his word is his law. So when we speak of God's law, we're talking about the things that he wants us to do and the things that he wants us not to do. So Jacob, even outside of scripture, though, everyone has God's law. How does God give his moral law to everyone?
He writes it on their hearts.
Michael, how did God give his law in a second way?
He wrote them in the Ten Commandments.
Nice. Katie, what are the three uses of God's law?
Curb, mirror, and guide.
William, how does God's law act as a curb?
It shows us the limits to our sins and threatens us with punishment.
Good, keeps us on that path. Jessica, how does God's law act as a mirror?
It reveals our sins.
Abella, how does God's law act as a guide?
It guides us to do what is God-pleasing.
Good. Now, Dawson, as Christians, having God's law is nice to show God's will, because as Christians, why do we want to follow God's law?
Out of thanks for what Jesus did for us.
Good. Not because to earn anything. So, OJ, Jesus is the only one who kept God's law perfectly. Why is it important that Jesus kept God's law for us?
So that we are perfect in God's eyes.
Right, our substitute covers us. Well done. Nicole, this is important because we can't keep God's law perfectly and earn eternal life because of what we sadly are by nature. What is our spiritual condition by nature?
We're spiritually dead in sin.
Yeah, spiritually dead in sin. And Kylie, though we are spiritually dead in sin, God graciously gave us new life through faith. Now through faith we have a new self within us. What does the new self do with the old self?
The new self battles with the old self.
Good. Jason, to help show us our sin and need for a Savior and to guide us in living for God, God has given us the Ten Commandments, as we've talked about. What one word summarizes all of God's commandments?
Love.
Love. Adam, as those Ten Commandments guide us in godly living, loving God and loving others, they also reveal our sins and our need for a Savior. Thankfully, God has given us his gospel. What does God teach us through the gospel?
That my sins are forgiven through Jesus, my Savior.
Well done. Andrew, how are we to use the law and the gospel differently then?
The law shows our sins and the gospel shows our Savior.
Now, Jacob, as we talk about the gospel, we also recognize that as a Christian church, we have had some historic statements of faith that have summarized that gospel. What are the three creeds that we talk about as statements of faith?
The Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed.
That's a long one, yeah. Athanasian, good job. Now, in a little bit, you're all going to be speaking the Apostles' Creed as a confession of your faith before everyone here. There are three articles to that Apostles' Creed because it talks about each person of what we call the Trinity. Michael, what do we mean when we say that God is the Trinity or triune?
We mean that he's three in one, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Right. Katie, how do we know that God is triune?
Because it says so in the Bible and they show characteristics of God.
Well done, like all being all powerful and his omniscience. William, who does the first article of the Apostles' Creed talk about?
God the Father.
Jessica, the Apostles' Creed says that the Father is the maker of heaven and earth. How did God show his almighty power when he created the world?
He created everything in 6 days simply by speaking.
Yeah, let there be, and there was. Abella, when God created the world, he created mankind in his own image. What does the Bible mean when it says that God created humans in his own image?
In righteousness and holiness.
Yeah, God's perfect holiness. Dawson, what was the consequence of the fall into sin on the image of God then?
The image of God was lost. We have original sin, and we are in need for a Savior.
OJ, that's the first article of the Apostles' Creed. Now, who does the second article of the Apostles' Creed talk about?
Our Lord Jesus.
Right, God the Son. Nicole, the second article talks about how Jesus is true God and true man. How do we know that Jesus is true God?
He has the characteristics of God, and the Bible says he is true man and true God.
Good. Now, Kylie, how do we know that Jesus is true man?
Because it says so in the Bible, and he had both body and soul, and he had that human emotion and needs of a human.
Good, like hunger and thirst. Because Jesus is true God and true man, he was exactly the Savior the world needed. As true man, he was also under God's law and was able to die for us. As true God, he was able to live a perfect life for us and pay for the sins of the whole world. So, Jason, how does the redemption and forgiveness Jesus won for us become our own?
Through faith in Jesus?
Yeah, through faith in his work. Now we're going to talk about that faith. And we're going to talk about who helps us. And to do that, let's go to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. Adam, who does the third article of the Apostles' Creed talk about?
God the Holy Spirit.
Well done. Andrew, through what does the Holy Spirit call us to faith?
The gospel.
Yeah, the gospel that we find in the Word of God. Jacob, what ongoing work does the Holy Spirit do after conversion?
Separates us from unbelievers and strengthens our faith.
Good, he sets us apart and strengthens us through the Word. Michael, what is the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit to keep us in the true faith so necessary? Why is it so necessary?
Because our faith is constantly threatened by the devil, the sinful world, and our sinful flesh.
Right. Katie, sadly, because of the work of these unholy three, God in his justice will send some people to hell. What's the difference between those who go to heaven and those who go to hell?
Faith in the work of Jesus or not.
Right. William, what will happen then on Judgment Day?
God will raise everyone from the dead and judge them and send the believers in Jesus to heaven and the unbelievers to hell.
Okay, so until that day, God has given us a great blessing as we live our lives of faith on this earth. It's called prayer. Jessica, what is prayer?
A time in which we speak to God from our heart.
Isabella, why can Christians be confident that God hears their prayers?
Because we are covered by Christ's righteousness through faith.
Dawson, what is a model prayer for Christians?
The Lord's Prayer.
The Lord's Prayer. That's the one Jesus taught us, and we'll all say that together later on during the rite of confirmation. Now, listening to our prayers and everything else God does for us is rooted in this awesome thing that we call God's grace. OJ, what is God's grace? Define it.
His compassion and undeserving love for us.
Yeah, he gives it to us even though we don't deserve it. So Nicole, as we mentioned earlier, God gives us his grace through the gospel message in his word. One way people receive the gospel is by hearing it or reading it and understanding it, but he also gives it to us in two very special ways. Name those two ways.
Through the Bible and it's written in our hearts.
Okay, so God's Word, he gives us the Bible, and in that Bible, he reveals these really two special ways that he gives us his grace. What, they have an earthly element.
Of baptism and communion.
Good, baptism and communion, or what we call the Lord's Supper. Kylie, what do we call these two sacred actions?
Sacraments.
Sacraments. Sacraments are the things that are connected with God's word to an earthly element. So, Jason, what is baptism?
An earthly element, which is water, combined with God's word.
That's right. So, Adam, who does Jesus command us to baptize?
All nations.
Yeah, go and baptize, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Andrew, what is the Lord's Supper then?
A sacrament instituted by Christ and the true body and blood for our forgiveness.
Nice. So the true body and blood connected with the bread and the wine. Jacob, how do you know that Jesus' body and blood are truly there in the Lord's Supper?
Jesus tells us through the Bible.
And what is it that he tells us?
Take and eat. This is my body and this is my blood.
Well done. Another blessing God gives to us as his church is the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Michael, what are the keys of the kingdom of heaven?
The special power and right given to Christians to forgive or refuse to forgive sins.
Good, well done. Katie, to whom has God given this power and right?
To all Christians.
To all Christians. So, William, when would you use the loosing key?
To forgive someone when they repent.
Yeah, and unlock heaven for them, right? Loose them from their sins. Jessica, when would you use the binding key?
When a person refuses to repent, we refuse to forgive their sins so that we can lead them to repentance.
Yeah, and that's the goal, right? Repentance. So, Abella, when we confess our sins, what announcement does God make in his word or through other Christians?
That he has forgiven our sins through Jesus.
Oh, that's a beautiful message. Dawson, how are we to receive the announcement of the forgiveness of our sins from pastors and other Christians?
As if it was from God himself.
As if it was from God himself. Brothers and sisters, very proud of you. You did an amazing job. May that forgiveness that Jesus won for you be yours from now all the way through eternity. We will now continue our service here, this very special service, with the hymn of the day, which is hymn 599 in those red song books in front of you. O Lord and God, O bless this day. Grace and peace to you from God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text for today is right there in your bulletins, John chapter 15, 9 through 17. I'll read that for you right now. Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other." The word of the Lord. Let us begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your love. Amen. I'd like to start out by playing a little game that I call Echo. Okay, so you know how echoes work, right? You're in a cave or something, and you say something or make a noise, and it bounces right back to you, right? Okay, so I'm going to say something to you. I want you to say it right back to me. Ready? Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice. Beautiful day today.
Beautiful day today.
Yeah. Piece of cake, right? Yeah, you don't have to say that. Yeah. Knew that was coming. I was ready for that. All right, we're going to take it to the next level. Okay? Because if you know anything about echoes, not only do they bounce back, but they continue to bounce and reverberate even within whatever space they're in, right? So, all right, this is what we're going to do. The front row, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say something to you. I'm going to give you a message. What I want you to do, bounce it back to me, say it back to me, and then turn around and say it to the next row. That row is going to bounce it to the front row, turn around, say it to the next row. To that row, back and forth. Everybody got it until we reach the end. Okay, ready? So I'm going to say something to you guys. You're going to say it back to me and turn around and say it. The message I'm going to share is, God loves you. I'm chicken out. To kind of tail off there toward the end, but not supposed to cut off the echo. We'll talk about that. Oh, it's beautiful seeing all that, hearing all that echoing, all that fruit coming forth, right? Last week, we talked about the first half of John chapter 15, and we talked about how we remain in Jesus and remain in God's word, and that's like hearing over and over and over again, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. And now this week, we're going to take a look at the last half of that chapter, and it's the most beautiful chapter, especially for confirmation, because now that you have this love of God surging through you, what do you do with it? I'll give you a hint. It has something to do with echoing, and it's really neat because you're going to see that echo goes on for a long, long time. If we're going to talk about love, like we've been talking about already a little bit, especially God's love, we've got to go back to the source. In 1 John 4, John tells us that God is love. You can see it. It's embodied in everything that he does. You see it in everything he does for his people. You see it in everything he does for the world. It's all focused on love. And we especially see that love even within the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Father loves the Son. It's obvious. In fact, he declared it for the whole world to hear at two different times in his ministry. Do you know those times? His baptism and at the transfiguration. God the Father said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And it's that joy that the Father had in Jesus that also brought Jesus a lot of joy. Jesus cherished that love of the Father, so much so that he was talking about it in John 14 right before this. He was talking about it here. He talks about it a couple chapters after this in a big long prayer he's going to say. He's all focused on the Father's love, and it means a lot to him. So he wanted to remain in that love. For Jesus, that meant doing what the Father told him to do, following the Father's commands. God's commands, all summarized by one word, Jason said earlier, love. He says it again. All right, he still remembers. Love. Love for God, commandments 1 through 3. Love for others, commandments 4 through 10. Jesus kept those commands perfectly to bounce back that love back to the Father. But it also had a dual purpose. He was also bouncing it back to all of us, too, because he was our perfect Savior, as you guys said, our substitute, the one who covers us with his righteousness. That love brought the Father a lot of joy. It brought Jesus a lot of joy. And guess what? Brings us a lot of joy too. So you can see why Jesus gives this command to his disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. When we share that love with others and we keep those commandments, we're bouncing that love back to the Father. And that brings joy to Jesus because then he sees that his work for you, his love-filled work, was not in vain. Everything that we get to do spreads that same joy. The Father has joy. Jesus has joy. We have joy. And it's all based on that one simple command. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. You ever feel like you can't live up to that standard? Loving each other as Jesus loved us, I mean, that's some pretty big love. And sadly, you and I can cut off the echo of that love quite often. We can be selfish. We can be self-focused. We can bicker with each other. We can lash out in anger at each other. We can think of ourselves as better than other people. Sadly, there are a lot of times when we cut off that love of God. And so Jesus gives us a very high standard to meet. And sometimes the weight and the pressure of that is going to get to you. But guess what? That standard Jesus gives us is not just a standard that he lived by. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. We just talked about all those things that were made known. A good overview of them from the Confirmands. Confirmands, not just the last 2 years, but Jesus has for a long time now been giving you information about himself. That makes you not just a servant. That makes you his friend. A servant just does what the master says, right? They're not in the know about the why and the how or the motivation behind the plan. But friends are different. Friends have a different motivation or a different intimate knowledge of everything. They know the plan of salvation, and Jesus has revealed that to you. He's revealed it to all of you. And a big part of that is when you and I don't share that love and we cut off that love, or when we doubt God's love for us, even as that pressure of that standard comes upon us, that we remember that Jesus is our friend, the ultimate friend, because he gave up his life for us. He gave up every second of his life for us as he was filled with love, so that all of those times when we have those unloving peeps might get drowned out by all of those amazing loving echoes of the Father. Jesus laid down his life for all of us in then some when he was on the cross. He laid it down, 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 deep, deep down in hell by facing the fires of hell so that we might not ever be disconnected from God's love. Not only has he made us his friends, but he's given us great purpose because of it. That purpose is for you, especially confirmants. This is why this passage is just so perfect for Confirmation Sunday. You did not choose me, but I chose you, Jesus says, so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Starting today, and you've already been doing it, but continuing on today, I guess, you'll get to bear fruit, fruit that will last. What is the fruit that will last? What's the fruit that never ends? What is the echo that goes on and on? Echo, 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 echo. Sharing that love of God. Sharing that love of God brings joy to others who don't know him yet. And that makes them your church family, your family too. All of us can share that love. Because what greater love is there from the Father than to know that his children know what is in his heart? What greater love is there and joy for Jesus than to know that his love-filled work was not in vain, that it's bearing fruit on and on and on? You can see why Jesus gives this command. This is my command. Love each other. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Remain in my love, as I remain in the Father's love. Love each other as I have loved you. This is my command. Love each other. You hear an echo? Jesus is repeating this a lot because it's coming from the Father. Father gives his love to Jesus. Jesus bounces it back to the Father, gives it to us. We give it back to Jesus and the Father, and then we share it with those around us. There's love here, there, and everywhere, and joy all around. Now do you know why Jesus says, remain in me, remain in my love, and your joy will be complete? Echo, echo, echo into eternity. So brothers and sisters, I have a message for you. I think you'll know what to do with it. God loves you. Amen. Please stand. May that love guard your hearts and minds until it echoes into eternity, eternity, eternity. Amen. You can stretch a little bit, everybody, except for the confirmands, and then you can sit down. Confirmands, if you could come on up for the rite of confirmation. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." In obedience to the Lord's command, you have been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You have been taught the precious truths of the Christian faith as confessed by the Evangelical Lutheran Church. You know what God has given you by his grace and what he expects of you as his dear child. You now have the privilege of receiving the Lord's body and blood and the sacrament of Holy Communion. You are here to make a public profession of your Christian faith. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, said, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Therefore, lift up your hearts to the God of all grace and joyfully answer these questions. Do you this day, in the presence of God and of this congregation, acknowledge that in baptism God gave you forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation?
Amen.
Do you reject the devil along with all his lies and empty promises?
Amen.
Do you believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? All the books of the Bible to be the inspired word of God? Do you believe that the teaching of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, as you have learned it to know it from Luther's small catechism, is faithful and true to the word of God? Do you intend to continue steadfast in this teaching and to endure all things, even death, rather than fall away from it? If you do, say, I do, and I ask God to help me.
I do, and I ask God.
Do you intend faithfully to conform all your life to the teachings of God's word, to be faithful in the use of word and sacrament, and in faith and action remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as long as you live? If so, say, I do, and I ask God to help me.
I do, and I ask God to help me.
Now to you, brothers and sisters, since it is God alone who enables us both to will and to do his good pleasure, it is right for us, dear friends in Christ, to call on him for these confirmands, that he would graciously complete the good work in which he has begun in them. Let us therefore now bow our heads and pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing these sons and daughters of yours to the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in giving them both hearts to believe and mouths to confess his saving name, till the day comes when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We join together in the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what we as a Christian congregation have here asked our Heavenly Father to confer on all of you, we now ask him to give to each of you individually. We'll confer a blessing upon you according to each of the passages that you have chosen as your confirmation passages. O Jalen Brown, you have chosen a passage that reminds you of the comfort and the courage that God gives you even in difficult times. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. God continue to bless you. Nicole Cordova, you have picked a passage that reminds you of the fact that the Holy Spirit is living inside of you and how you can glorify God through that. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. 1 Corinthians 6:20. God continue to bless you. Kylie Corkill, you have chosen a passage that reminds you of even in the difficult times that God's love is still with you. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. God continue to bless you. Jason Del Biagio, you have chosen a passage that reminds you that God is guiding you in life, no matter what, and that you'll always have him. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Psalm 23:1. God continue to bless you. Adam Felgian, you have chosen a passage that reminds you of the fact that we don't earn heaven. We get it simply by God's grace. From Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. God continue to bless you. Andrew Felgian, you've chosen a passage that reminds you of God's salvation and the fact that you have nothing to be afraid of. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27:1. God continue to bless you. Jacob Felgian, you've chosen a passage that reminds you of who it is that gives you strength. It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. Psalm 18:32. God continue to bless you. Michael Kapitsky, you have chosen a passage that reminds you that no matter where you are, God is with you, so you too don't have to be afraid. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. God continue to bless you. Katie Lucklean, you've chosen a passage that also reminds you of how God is always with you no matter what and on into eternity. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Matthew 28:20. God continue to bless you. William Siddiq, you've chosen a passage that reminds you of who God is and how it puts this life into perspective. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Revelation 22:13. God continue to bless you. Jessica Smithy, you have chosen a passage that reminds you of that love that we've just talked about and how you can echo that love. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Ephesians 4:32. God continue to bless you. Abella Waterman, you've chosen a passage that reminds you that no matter what, you know who to go to in times of trouble. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Psalm 46:1. God continue to bless you. And Dawson Waterman, you have chosen a passage that reminds you of what you can say and what you can do before the Father and the confidence that you have thanks to Jesus. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Matthew 7:7. God continue to bless you too. Your church now invites you to receive the sacrament of the Lord's body and blood. Accept this invitation with deep reverence and holy joy. Regard your communion at the Lord's table as a precious privilege given you by God through his church. Receive this sacrament thankfully and often. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and keep you. Amen. You may be seated. We will continue with the offering. Please stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, and we praise you especially for the glorious resurrection of your Son, the true Passover Lamb, who by his sacrifice took away the sins of the world, and by his resurrection restored everlasting life. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you. Always. Amen.
Thank you.
Please stand for prayer and to receive the blessing. We pray. O God, the Father, source of all goodness, in your loving kindness you sent your Son to share our humanity. We thank you that through him you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We also pray that you will bless and guide the new confirmands by your Holy Spirit so that they and all of us may remain in you and your love until life everlasting. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. It's good to sing it. You may be seated for our closing hymn, Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus. Please note we'll sing verses 1 and 4. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for that echo. Well done. Visitors, a big welcome to you. If anybody's here visiting, I think there are a number of you. God's blessings to you. Thanks for joining us here for worship. If you need anything, actually, we've got a table over there. It's called the Welcome Center. If you wanted to go check that out, everything on there is free. We are going to have a cake reception while you stick around. So stick around for cake. That's good motivation, I think. I believe that cake reception is going to happen out in the Rose Garden, and if not, it's going to be at least be in the lobby and grab it and go out in the Rose Garden. Either way, but very beautiful right now. Those roses are popping, so stick around for the cake reception. We have a St. Mark's merchandise on sale in the library. You can check that out if you're interested in that. A call meeting for our new principal will happen right after this service in the chapel, so if you wanted to give your input on that call, please do so. It's in there. In the chapel, which is kind of around the offices over there. We'll also have Greg Pluckhan is here to take pictures. There's his hands up. Take your pictures for the church directory. So if you're a St. Mark's member, you don't have your picture in there yet. It's also good in the app. So find Greg. He'll take your picture real quick. The River City Chorale has a big concert tonight, 4 p.m. here. So come check that out and hear that beautiful music. as well as, this was in your bulletins, correct? Yeah, the big pink thing. Aladdin, it's going to be really neat. I hear it on the other side of the wall of my office every single day. They do an awesome job. Trust me, it's going to be great. Friday, May 11th at 7 p.m. Come check that out. I think you can get tickets at the door for that. Registration is open for summer sports camps. So if you have somebody who might be interested in some of the ages, I'm not sure what the ages are for the summer sports camps, shout it out if you know. Third through sixth grade. Third through... Thank you. All right, there it is. Third through sixth and five through eighth for the summer sports camps. Register for those if you would like. Also, we have a Mornings with Mommy program that's starting up here at St. Mark's. What that is that's for, I know the ages for that one, so I was corrected last week. But for 0 to 5 years old, if you have a child that age or if anybody interested that might be joining, that would like to join for that, that'll start every first and third Tuesdays starting in June. So that starts June 5th, I believe. That's a Tuesday, and we'll have that here in the church lobby. You can register for that online. Register quickly, too, because it'll fill up and space is limited. All of the other announcements are there in your weekly update. A big, huge congratulations to the confirmands. You guys know that this isn't the end. We've drilled that into you plenty, but God be praised that we got to celebrate the grace that he has given you and the knowledge that he's given you. May he continue to have you grow in that grace forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Please stick around, greet one another. There'll be... There you go. Stick around to greet one another and especially come through the line if you want to meet all the confirmands. There's 13 of them, so you got a good chance to share your blessings with them.